In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I pray. We pray for ourselves in the name of Jesus that God will give us light. God will give us the brightness of his understanding in the name of Jesus. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says that the word of God profited nothing to the one that is after the order of the flesh. And being walking after the order of the flesh is not something that necessarily you dwell in perpetually. You can be highly spiritual, but there can be moments of slumber. There can be moment of distraction. There can be moment of sleep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, so it is needed that you always stay alert. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says in Luke 10:42, Jesus said that, but a few things are needed, or indeed only one. Say to your neighbor, only one thing is needed.
Only one thing is needed.
Yes, you might not agree or you might disagree, but this is the word of the true lighter, Jesus Christ. He says that only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better and will never be taken away from her. And Jesus was not only speaking in the domain of the now, Jesus was also speaking in the afterlife to come. The age that we will live beyond with angels. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that there is an age of a glorified life ahead of us as humanity, I'm telling you that you have been lied to by many preachers that already have signed their ticket on their way to be partakers of death. Hallelujah. Which is the second death. And these people have no have no conscience or senses when it comes to living in the afterlife, and it will be like a dream to them. Hallelujah. It will be like a dream to them. But it is my prayer that by wisdom you will prepare your ways and you will live a life that will prepare you for the afterlife as well. You do well in this life and you do well in the life to come. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So we go back again. I'm believing God that we will be able to cover a few things and then be able to pray. Pray, 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 pray. Be able to pray. Be able to pray a little bit more. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Going back again to the book of Exodus chapter 10. Tonight, we say that there is light in Goshen. Amen. And
Amen.
We want to bring the truth and the revelation of this to you in a way that you will be able to walk as a prevailing light in this season. Tonight, we want to say that there is light in Goshen. But you must understand that, yes, Goshen does not exist anymore. Goshen is there in Egypt, but they cannot see any bright light there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, Goshen is there in Egypt as we speak, but they cannot see any bright light there. What does that tell me? That tells me that the Goshen experience was not necessarily because of the land, but the Goshen experience was because of a God that dwelt among his people. And you and I have the presence of this God living in us. So the experience of Goshen is not a past historical event that took place in Egypt that cannot be replicated. And these are some of the things that people would speak about concerning things that took place in the Bible. And they'll be like, this is historical. It doesn't mean that it will happen again. Guys, I'm telling you. The order in which God created the earth, as we understand it, he created the days that are observed spiritually and the days that are observed physically. So you will know that there are some things that God is still doing. Some are manifested physically and some are manifested spiritually. But the underlining thing with them is that when you come into the truth of how God does his things, you come into the truth to know God and how he does his things, it can never be taken away from you. And that is what Jesus told Mary. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, it can never be taken away from you. So in as much as we want you to have an encounter with the supernatural, we want you to understand how the supernatural works.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't want you to be supernatural junkies, as in somebody that wants to take a drug for the sake of its soothing, but does not want to know what is in the drug. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The spiritual experience is not a drug administration. We don't try to do something that would numb whatever it is that you are going through, and then you come back to square one, as we will say it. But no. So going back to Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 coming, the Bible says that God told Moses, stretch out your hands so that darkness would greatly prevail in Egypt. But you know, we were not told that God told Moses that stretch out your hand again so that light would also what? Prevail. The Bible does not say that, but the Bible accounts that whilst there was gross darkness in Goshen, and that the mobility of the people in Egypt was hindered for days, what happened with that again is the fact that the Israelites in Goshen, however, came to a point where they experienced great light. Never before in their life. It was supernatural. But we were never told that Moses was told to lift up his hand or say something for the light to come. I want to take my time and lay understanding with us. This is why I was saying the other time that before darkness actually was given the room to prevail over the land of Egypt, the presence of light was already there in an active mode, awaiting an opportunity to prevail. Listen to me. The presence of light was already there in Goshen, but it was not seen as a manifesting light that was physically necessarily given a light that can be observed as bright amongst the people of Israel. Are you listening to me? And
yes.
Most people do not understand this, that behind the scenes, you might not see a physical light in your life, but behind the scenes, you walk with the light of this world.
Hallelujah.
And you must maintain your consistency in walking with this light, because during days of darkness and relating to darkness, we are talking about evil days in a person's life. If you have been walking with light, you will see the deliverance of light.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question. How would a person know that God is walking with him or her to deliver him from an accident? The bad person only comes to that knowledge when maybe in the course of his life, at a point in time, some terrible accident happened. I mean, I know somebody that, I know a pastor that had an accident. Finally, he's passed away. A very bad one. Everybody in the car died. Only him, he survived. Now, do you know what? When he survived that accident, it was said that he has used the people in the accident for juju, because they don't understand why he's the only person that survived in that accident. Because of that, they were seeking for his life. His name is Evans. You encounter certain situation where suddenly God delivers you out of it. That is the work of light. Now, this way that God works has not stopped. The other time I was telling you guys that from the book of Genesis chapter 1, before God said, let there be light, light was already there, but light was there in another form that we do not necessarily give an account for. Look, if you don't have what it takes to produce light, light will not be produced. Nobody flicks his hand and then light comes out of thin air. There is always a power dimension behind the manifestation of light. Put it in your head. As a believer, there is always a power dimension behind the manifestation of light. So here we are shifting our focus from just the darkness that prevailed into a place where we see light manifesting. But I want you to understand that before the manifestation of light, there were the activities that brings about the prevailing nature of light. And this is what I want us as believers to understand. Now, in other sermons that I've preached, I've called these processes as a burning process. Every believer that God calls you a light of this world must be in an active place of burning. And a burning believer has an adopted lifestyle. I don't think you'll be a believer that burns and you live the normal life that everybody lives. You want to sleep. You want to sleep 16 hours in a day. Do you know how many hours we actually have in a day? I'll come back to that truth. We don't have 24 hours in a day. According to the spiritual timeline of God, we have only 12 hours in a day.
Yeah.
But the deception of the day is that most of us think that we have 24 hours in a day. Jesus said that. He asked, do we not have 12 hours in a what? In a day? That's what he said.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual mystery. We know that you think you have 24 hours. That is the deception that most people have lived their life with. Let me tell you this. You don't have, if you think you will live, let's say your lifespan is 100 years. The truth is that your life is actually 50 years. The rest of the 12 hours is full of darkness. Even Christ, when he was on earth in that mode, said that man has only 12 hours in the day to do the things that according to the divine order, by the calling of light, he's supposed to do. And the rest of the 12 hours, he doesn't count it as day because it doesn't belong to day.
That's true.
It belongs to the dark. And this is a spiritual mystery. A lot of people live their life thinking that they have 24 hours. Do you know what 24 hours means? 24 hours means that you're actually living the perfection of divine life in your physical nature on this earth. But we don't, because on this earth we are still being redeemed from a corruptible state of the body.
Yeah.
So we have only 12 hours. Why? Because when we wake up, there is the rule of the sun and there is the rule of the moon.
That's it.
The day we stop the rule of the moon, then we can live perpetually in from day to day, 12 observing perpetual light. But that is not the case. So if you are here and whatever age that you have, split it into two and know that this is what you are left with. And so you must work faster than that. When we preach these sermons to you, we don't preach because we want to sound deep to you. We preach it because we want to bring a hidden mystery that has become the deceptive of the age for many, many, many years, because you have men and women that feels like they have timeless time to live on this earth, but you don't. You don't. So in Genesis, you see that I always use Genesis because it's the foundation of creation. And trust me that every form of truth is in Genesis. Before the Bible says, before light, we saw that there was light. The Bible says that the Spirit of God in the book of Genesis was doing what? The term says that it was hoovering.
The term used is hoovering,
but the actual thing that it was doing was that it was what? Brooding.
Brooding.
When you know that when when you have a being, because he says that the Spirit of God, that means that it has essence. It was responsible. It was responsive. It has the power to think. It has the power to, it had a plan. He says that it was brooding. When you see a hen, when you see any bird brooding over 8 eggs or brooding over something, that means that it is making preparation and room to bed forth something. It was brooding. The Spirit of God was brooding over the chaos. Hallelujah. Whilst darkness was there, the Spirit of God was brooding over the chaos. And then, whilst brooding was going on, the Bible says that then God said, let there be what? Light. And this is what I want you to understand, that you can't produce light without the deposit of oil. So the Bible says God commanded the priesthood in Israel that they must make sure that there is perpetual. God commanded the priesthood in Israel that they must make sure that there is perpetual oil from the olives in the lamp, so that the light does not go off. There must be, and we all know, I don't have to explain it too deep for you to know that. We all know that the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit is the presence of oil.
Yeah.
So, whilst the people of Israel were in Egypt, and the people think that Goshen at the time had nothing else, had no form of light, that people couldn't physically see it, behind the scenes, in the midst of them being under slavery, in the midst of them being under oppression, in the midst of them being in the chaos of the dark, there was a spirit of redemption that was brooding over the people of Israel, only awaiting a time of manifestation. When darkness fledges its muscles, then the prevailing light of God would also show forth and show that there is a deliverance amongst the people of Israel. Beloved, I want you to understand, and I've come to tell you that there is a form of deliverance in your midst that you have not come to understand, that you have not come into terms with. Hallelujah. But it is my prayer that you would come to understand that you have light in Goshen.
Hallelujah.
Look, if the Israelites knew that they had that kind of light in Goshen, I believe that they would live their life differently. The light didn't just appear because maybe darkness came. The light has already been there, but it was in the form of the brooding spirit. Somebody say the brooding spirit.
The brooding spirit.
Yes, and I progress on from this to tell you that most of you are carrying the brooding spirit of God. This is what I call when an energy is in the potential state. You know, most people are carrying the brooding spirit of God, or most people must enter into a phase where they begin to invoke the Spirit of God to go into a place of brooding. The Bible says that those that wait on God, they shall renew their strength. You must go into brooding. Those that wait on believers must shift from all the time. Go into brooding. Go into a state of brooding and begin to renew your strength. And when your strength is renewed, the Bible says that you begin to mount up with wings as eagle.
Hallelujah.
The power of your light would begin to prevail. The skies will be your place of abode, not the grounds. Every form of light that rises, that begins to shine at its peak, never remains on the ground. It has to rise above.
Yeah.
When you have brooded and your light begins to break forth, you won't tell people to take you up on high. Your state of precedence will be up in the skies. So you will see that in the process of brooding and after the brooding, you'll be lifted up into the place of height.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. So everybody, as you are here, everybody needs the spirit that will cause them to brood, or everybody needs to pick up from just saying that I have the Spirit of God in me and switch into a place where they begin to brood with the Spirit of God. Because trust me, if you don't brood if you don't brood with the Spirit, the day that we need light, we won't have light. Hallelujah. The day that we need light, we won't have light, because there has not been any form of combustion or burning going on inside of you. So people want to claim light, people want to pronounce the appearance of light in their life, but they have not been in a place of brooding. God wants to take you through the process of brooding, and the process in which God broods the bearers and the carriers of light, so that they will be burning ones that will be able to give light in the generations that they live in, is what Joseph went through as a typical example. Hallelujah. As long as, look, as long as people will live and dream dreams, as long as kings will live and dream dreams, we will need people that are light bearers, that will be able to come into a place to let under, to let us understand what is hidden in the dark. You know the statement Jesus Christ made, that the sons of this world are wiser in their generation. Whenever I read that part of this the Bible verse, it's a hard admission that hurts, but it is the truth of the day most of the time.
Hallelujah.
You have believers in the Christendom that do not believe in the prevalence of their light, and all that they believe is that they believe in spiritism. They believe they believe in spiritism. Spiritism is different from living the supernatural life. They believe in spiritism in the sense that they want somebody to come, take cola nut, take water, throw it two times to your back, throw the one two times to your, go and sit at your home. You'll be the owner of a company. You'll be, what kind of fraudulent life is this that you want to live? What kind of fraudulent life is this that you want to? Meanwhile, the God of the universe who establishes this world according to the order of the pillars of wisdom, seven dimensions of it, knew that day one I created this, day two I created. He brought a dimension for you to understand that there is a planning, there is a strategy, there is a process in which we establish creation and the order of things. But you want to go and throw something, throw this year, and then bury things under the dirt, and you live a life that is flourishing. You want to go and take juju and go and fish out for how do you call it, rich men or rich women. You want to go and somebody will tell you, oh, ask for this ghost. They don't call, they don't take dead people. They don't, yes, they don't take human blood. Oh, you need only goat, or you give them money and they'll go and find one white eagle. And look, how do I put it? Like, how deceptive the enemy is. Who told you that the God that would take the blood of a goat will not ask for human blood? Do you know what they are trying to imitate? Or do you know the implication of first even asking for the blood of a lamb? What they are doing is that the moment they ask you bring a goat, they are telling you the precursors to substitution of life. Because if you look in the mystery of the Bible, the substitution of a goat was represented by the Lamb of God who came to take away our sins. Because any time, the reason why there was the need for the blood is that because of the fallen state of man, there are certain dimensions of glory man cannot attain unless blood restores him back to his dignity, his fall. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what Romans say. So any man that wants to have a form of riches through the back end, I'm telling you the technicalities behind it, is that that man in that realm, the spirit cannot give you something that you cannot have without blood. So they will start by following the order of the secret and the wisdom of the spirit, telling you that bring the blood of a goat. But we know that in truth, in Christ, after the blood of goats was used as a way, as types and shadows of the true life that was sacrificed for our redemption, God himself came as a man, born of a man, and that he sacrificed himself. It wasn't murder. The death of Christ was not a murder. The death of Christ was a deliberate sacrifice. If I have a goat and I myself, my own goat, I kill that goat to eat, I have not committed murder. So yes, you start by doing things that looks like you are not committing murder, but in the end there must be the prevalence of a life, because the moment you accepted that you were going to bring the goat, it indicates in the future, foolish one, listen, it indicates in the future. And let me tell you this, some of these messages is not even for you guys, because it will be placed somewhere, and somebody that is thinking of initiating, people can take their own nieces, nephews, who and kill them, take their children, wives, I mean, come on, what do you want? But you know, it starts like this. Because people don't want to dwell under a light that will start by brooding and prevail. So the fetish or the gods ask for a lamb. The moment you send the lamb there, what you have indicated that is that you are willing to bring through human blood, because that's the indication of it. But you know, the funny thing is that when we speak of grace, some of you take it for granted. But when you are witnessing some of these wicked things in life where people use people for money, then you should understand that God is ever merciful. What is it that the gods that you are serving, the so-called gods, do not sacrifice their life to give you money? Why? Why is it that the so-called gods do not sacrifice their life to give you money? But see, when you come to Christ, the graciousness of God, He didn't ask you to kill yourself to save yourself. He sent His own Son to be the atonement for your sin. So that thing that I started today, bring this to look, bring that to know, the next thing, you want a baby, chew this, do this, put it under you. The next thing, that fetish priest will tell you, he carries the seed of babies, so he has to sleep with you before you give it. And funny enough, the way it starts as little as that. And by the time, you know, he has actually slept with some of the women trying to give them babies that were given by the spirit, because the spirit must work through him. The spirit man went through action through the human vessel. May God deliver us in the mighty name of Jesus. So speaking on from Genesis, I want you to understand that we need to be in a place of brooding. Now, the world needs light. And the light of God, every light bearer of God is processed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Every light bearer of God is processed. That person, every person that will carry light that is truly from God will process. Joseph dreamed a dream. And the second part, because of time, for the second part of Joseph's dream, he saw the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to him. It is a fellowship that I want to reiterate and explain to you that it is a fellowship in a different dimension. It is a greater fellowship in a different dimension. Maybe some of you might not be, you might not see yourself as some the sun and the moon worship, but what it did, what it does was that as far as the earth was concerned, Joseph at a point in time was going to occupy one of the highest office on this earth, and that he would ascend to a place of dominion and rulership. That was his dream. Somebody say, this is my dream.
This is my dream.
But Joseph's dream did not come with going to throw water three times over his head, sprinkle something over his head. It does not how Joseph's dream came to pass. Immediately, Joseph dreamed as a light bearer. God said that this dream is about to come to pass.
Hallelujah.
And people will say that Joseph didn't have to tell his brother. Joseph, I mean, I have dreamed. Who do I have to tell? My own brothers that I live in the house. If it is not for wickedness and witchcraft and I mean devilish intentions, I have dreamed. Who do I have to talk to about? My own senior brothers and sisters. Imagine you've dreamed, you've called me as your pastor to tell me, and then when I hear it, I'm devising ways and means to break you down. You've dreamed, you've called a sister, a brother, and this dream that I'm talking about, in Joseph's dream he was asleep, but your dream might not be the one that you slept with. Your dream might be an idea born in you by the Spirit of God. Your dream might be something that you want to do. Your dream might be something that you discuss with a friend, and the friend want to destroy you because of your dream. Sometimes people might even see our dream from the way we live our life.
That's true.
Sometimes some people might see your dream by the woman you have. People might see your dream by the man you have. People might see your dream by the things, and they want to break, like they just want it dead.
Mercy, Lord.
Somebody say, I dream a dream.
I dream a dream.
But listen carefully here. The dream that Joseph dreamt did not end with just him being in the house, and then suddenly the supernatural power would take the... No, Joseph went through the process of becoming one that is combustible, one that God can burn to keep the light for the generations to come. And so then the Bible says that God started taking him through the hardships of life that would produce a person that is worthy to carry the prevailing light of God. Look, God must find you wealthy to give you his prevailing light. Yes, Agbaraba light, the light for Agbaraba, that God, you can go and take it. The light for, you can take it, you can even buy it. You buy a few chicken there, do they will do it for you. But the true prevailing light of God is not carried by any, it's not carried by any vessel. You'll be appointed to carry it. You'll be qualified to carry it. You'll be called for to carry it, but to keep it through the generations, you must go through the process of burning. Do you know that when it comes to looking for sticks that can burn, we look for sticks that are dry, isn't it?
That's it.
Yes. We look for sticks that are dry, fire pans that we can bring in to combust, burn. We don't want the fresh ones that does not look like they've not been toasted by the sun. We look for the ones that are dry. God is looking for people that he can pass through the process of life and bring out the light in them.
Hallelujah.
You know, Joseph, we never heard anywhere in the prayers of Joseph where through the times in which his brothers were persecuting him, where he went on his knees and prayed the prayer of Joseph would have been in the Bible. God, my brothers, I hand them over to you, these witches and wizards. Deal with them, do this with them, do that with them. But do you know what? Joseph believed in a dream that cannot be killed by men. He believed in a dream that cannot be killed by men, but he believed in a God that is able to bring his dream to pass.
Amen.
And when Joseph went, when Joseph finally found himself in Egypt, as we said, before the light actually came up to represent the true bearer of light, it took the dream of another person to bring the light of Joseph. Let me tell you this, God or the world is looking for solution because God has given you a light. And believers think that when we are speaking of this light, it only works in the place where suddenly something will light up on you and people will be looking for you. People will be looking for you when you have, your light brings influence. People will be looking for you when your light brings solutions. People will be looking for you when your light has a way of doing something good for humanity.
That's right.
Christians only want their life to be their light to be something supernatural that is not tangible. I don't even understand why we think like that. You want your building to appear. What do we want? If you truly you are a bearer of light, God gives you a spirit that begins to work in you to produce that light. When the Bible says that God get God ready to build the temple, he told Moses that he has put the spirit of God. Exodus 35:31. He says that to Bezalel and Aholiab. He said that then Moses said that see, the Lord had called the name Bezalel, son of Uri, and the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the spirit of God, with skill, ability, and the knowledge in all kinds of what? Craftsmanship. And so the way that these people were able to produce their light in their generation was that they exhibited artistic craftsmanship in their generation that has never been seen before. Today, ask us, where are the light bearers in the corridors of politicians? Men that are chasing women, men that are cursing each other, men that are consulting mediums, idols, and things because they want to be in a place of power. Men that are offering sacrifices, bringing the head and the knee of a nation under bondage before they even assume power. Let's do this. Let's kill this cow here before this, that. Look, political position or political power is not evil. But the way you assume that office will tell us that the light you are bringing into the office, it's, is it the true prevailing light or it is the light of darkness? Today, ask, comb your political candidates or those in office and judge. You comb and judge. You comb them and see that who has truly come to office to say that, oh, I've lifted up my hands, I'm in here for justice. How many of them can you find? But yet, when you are looking for all of them, but all of them go to church. Most of them go to church.
Yes.
Most of them go to church. Even if they don't go to church, they honor pastors who speak to them, but who are speaking lies into their ears. And they only want to run to the altar for direction because they will be told that they are going to die. They only want to run to the altar of the so-called gods and God for direction because they are told that they are going to die. That is the only time a sense of fear will hit them. And then they will go for direction too. Where are the true bearers of the light of this world? Do you know what has happened? Most of the light bearers of this world have become like the 10 virgins. It's only a few that qualify. And sitting in the mystery of the 10 virgins, listen to me. As for the five, we knew that they kept their oil. Remember that their oil in the lamp was for one purpose, to give them light. So they went in, but the other five, they had exhausted their oil. So because of that, they couldn't produce light. Beloved, this is the mystery that I'm telling you today. If you don't have the deposit and the presence of the oil, a connection with the spirit, your light will be blotted out. And when your light is blotted out, you will sit back in darkness. And I said to us yesterday that when you are found in darkness, you cannot be led by darkness into light. you can't stay in what of ants, there's a name for Nkrane. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Basically, another analogy of it is that you can't stay in debt and clean yourself in debt. That's what we are trying to say. So you cannot be led by darkness into light. Do you know that when you read the book of Matthew 25 concerning these 10 virgins, most of you don't pay attention, but when the other five who didn't have oil to produce light, the reason why, I mean, they've heard that the bride is coming. If the bride is coming, why are we running away to go and get oil? Why don't we follow those five that have light already to also guide us? What I want to tell you is that this is what a lot of people are doing. I said there are people in the Christendom, they are only reflectors of other people's light, but they are not light bearers themselves.
That's right.
You can't follow somebody's internal compassion to give you light. It's impossible. Everybody is directed by God according to the order of his footsteps by light.
Hallelujah.
So it's not like we say the steps of the righteous is other. So you see somebody's footsteps and you want to walk it. Everybody's destiny is different. Stop copying people. And this is one of the curse of social media. People want their relations to be what somebody's saying on social media. People want their attention to be like somebody saying on that. I mean, come on. So these people, when they heard that the bridegroom was coming, they realized that they don't have oil. Why was it important that lack of oil stopped them from coming to the bridegroom? Guys, the mystery about these five foolish virgins is to do with the fact that you need a prevailing light to make your way to where God wants you to go to. Do you know that these five virgins, when they went back trying to get oil, they didn't get oil? There is nowhere in the Bible that say that they went and they bought some of the oil. The Bible says that they actually came back knocking at the door, but they didn't open them. Why? Because the way through which they have come to the door, they walked to the door without light. And so Jesus said that he doesn't know them. That's what the statement says. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 11 says, later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I don't know you. Do you know why he doesn't know them? Because they came to the door through darkness. And anybody that walks after the order of darkness has an affiliation with darkness, fraternizes with darkness, lives in darkness, is a product of darkness, and does not qualify for the things of the kingdom. So we are not just necessarily talking about finding your way to the door. In fact, in heaven, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus will say to some so-called believers that he has even called that, I don't know you. But he will say that we prophesied, we did this, but he will say that I don't know you. Why? Because their light was blotted out. Let me tell you this. I tell you this for the favor of it. There are so-called, I'm using the term so-called because what you see at the church carrying the prevailing light of God in this age is not. Because they are so-called men, whatever great so-called men of God that we think that they are there, but they are not carrying the prevailing light. Their light has been blotted out. And look, the bridegroom had come. The door had been shut. Where are you going to buy the oil? Because the oil is a representation of the presence of what? The Holy Spirit. So if according to the dispensation or order, if according to the order of the day, the Holy Spirit has been taken because the bridegroom had come and everything had come to an end, where is the presence of the Spirit? So when you went, which oil were you going to buy? Which oil of God can you buy in the dark? Maybe Samuel, I'm asking a question. Which oil of God can you buy in the dark? You are a virgin, but you are walking in the dark. But you know that people buy oil in the dark?
Oh yes.
Clean oil. This oil I've specially made it. It's one touch. This oil is there. Then they will write things, put things in it, and then this oil from is Israel. from this. It's not from Israel, yeah. He took it from the dwarf. Dwarfism spirit gave him a way to do the oil, and then they will put some in your eye. Put some in. It's not from any Israel anywhere. People are buying oil in the dark, and yet they want to knock at heaven's gate with that oil. You can never have the oil, the true deposit of the oil, which is the Holy Spirit, when you are living in the dark. You need to be translated from darkness into light. Yes, God can love you as a sinner, but he doesn't want you to remain as a sinner. So you know, when the rich man and Lazarus found themselves there, do you actually know what is in heaven when it comes to the waters in heaven? The waters in heaven is a crystal clear river. The Bible says that it gives life. And it is a representation of the Holy Spirit. So this man is in hell, and he's asking that we should give him that a drop of that water to drink. Is it even possible? It's impossible.
It's not impossible.
Beloved, once again, our time is up. But I want to bring to your corridors that every person that is here must look. Go through the process of brooding with the Spirit that gives them the ability to burn and bring out the light in them, because we live in a generation that is truly looking for the prevailing light. Go back to the basics of Christianity. If you I want to kindly advise you, if you follow this whole trend, this powerful man of God, this power, and practically take the steps to do things, and you will prosper. Look, even if it's chewing gum, begin to sell it.
Mm.
Even if it's an idea, find somebody to communicate. Let whatever God has given in you begin to do it. Like, look, times are hard, not for only people in Africa, for everybody everywhere. I'm telling you. But if you are not careful and you think that church is a shortcut way, the enemy will sell you fake and decoy people that will sell you things in the dark that will cost you your spiritual life and your destiny. I want you to lift up just one prayer. As we begin to pray, just one prayer and I'll let you go. Lord, in my domain of Goshen, let my light prevail in the mighty name of Jesus. That's just
Lord,
that prayer.
Let my life prevail.
Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lord in Goshen, let my life prevail in the name of Jesus. Lord in Goshen, let my life prevail in the name of Jesus. Let my light of life prevail in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. God bless you so much. God bless you so much. And thank you for listening. We will continue praying.